with one of the many lessons ahead of us from the story of Esther. Here's Dave Rolfe.
God's working. We need to not follow God as if he isn't. We need to not live our lives in such a way that everything is about desperation. It's going to come down to this election, or it's going to come down to this issue, or this will destroy life as we know it. No, it won't. There will be a time in your life when it's time for you to take a stand somewhere on something. Make sure that you wait and look for that opportunity, because the truth is, even though it looks like God's not doing anything and he needs you desperately, what we learn from this story is, now God's working all along. How did you get where you are? It's because God was doing it.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
If you want to stay up late at night, start thinking about God's providence in relation to our choices. How does that merge together? Well, even the great theologians of our day struggle to answer that. As we study the book of Esther today on The Balanced Word, Pastor Dave Rolfe is going to point out how God works things out according to choices people make. And there are plenty of choices to look at here in this story, both good and bad. When you stop to think of it, our life is really a series of decisions, and our choices have ramifications. So let's consider the story of Esther and what it says about God and people. We're going through the Bible, keying in on the Bible stories.
Every story that the Bible has, there are reasons why it's put in here. There are things that God wants to communicate to us that go beyond just the story. And so let's consider what we can learn from this story. Things we can learn about God, things that we can learn about us. Now, there's a lot that you can learn about God in this story. But you know what's the weird thing? God is never mentioned in this story. They don't say, let's do this for God. God told me. Prayer isn't even mentioned. They said, okay, you go fast and we'll fast. But they don't even mention prayer. God is working beneath the surface in a really subtle way. For some reason, he isn't being overt. He could have. This would have been a great opportunity for evangelism, but God chose to work beneath the surface. And to me, this is really encouraging, because most of the time, how God's working in my life isn't like really out there, up front, obvious. And when you read the whole Bible, you realize that most of the time, the way God works is subtle. It is behind the scenes. It is beneath the surface. When he comes out and really does something huge, that's exceptional. That's when he's doing something for a reason, for a big deal. Now, there are people who would try to make you believe that if you have enough faith, you'll be seeing miracles every day in your life. And when I see people who, you know, God speaks to them every day and God does this and God does that, I think, that's so different than everyone in the Bible, where it was fairly rare when God made an exception and actually did something spectacular or came and spoke to someone a specific message. That's not how he usually did it. Now, if you think it's about faith, the greatest time in history probably of the miraculous was when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt. The plagues happened, they were delivered, the sea was parted, they ate manna, they got water from a rock, and God appeared to Moses and all this stuff. Did those people have faith? Did they have all those miracles because of their faith? Absolutely not. They had no faith at all. Now, on the other hand, you fast forward to this era, and the people who had the faith to go back to Israel from where they had lived their entire lives. And they came back and they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the walls of the city. Those people had faith. How many miracles happened to them? None that we know of, none that are recorded. So, you know, I think God here wants to let us know, I'm doing a lot more than you think. And because you want me to come in like you would and make a big show, you think I'm not doing anything and you're getting frustrated. I'm subtle. See, we've created God in our own image. And so therefore, our image of God a lot of times is that he's this egomaniac who just wants everyone to see him, and he wants to make a big deal. And that's not what we see. That's not what we see in Jesus, who is the human revelation of God. So many of the times when Jesus would heal somebody, he would go, don't tell anybody. He could have done some of his miracles in a place that it would have got a lot of attention, but that's not usually what he did. His heart just leaked out, and yet he touched a relatively few people. And yet God is still working today, because he is not all about, there are people today who talk about, you know, let's make a big stage and have a big show and a lot of lights and let's make God famous. God's not you. He doesn't care if he's famous or not. In fact, when he talks to people who are lost, sometimes he just speaks in mysteries and doesn't even tell you what he's talking about. That's Jesus. Because he has a plan that goes way beyond what we think would be obvious. He does things in a weird way sometimes. And, you know, on the one hand, it's like, yeah, no, I mean, if I was God, I would be famous. I'd be doing things. I would think, you know, let me get on, you know, with one of the late night talk shows. I mean, one of the good ones, not one of the cheesy ones, but one of the ones that's really happening, you know, Jimmy Fallon or something. And boy, just think how many people. Now, God doesn't think like that. Because truth is, he's been working in our lives when we don't see that he's working in our lives. He is so powerful that he doesn't even have to have his name out there for it to be him who is working. And a lot of times we strive so much to like make him something, you know, and we talk about we need to lift Jesus higher. Well, the scripture that said Jesus will be lifted up was talking about being lifted up on a cross and killed. He doesn't need your press releases. He doesn't need to be famous. He doesn't need for you to make him everyone knows him. God does not dream of the day when everyone will know who he is. He just does his thing. He's just God. And he doesn't care if his name is used or not. He's still working. And that's a great comfort to me, because in my life, a lot of times I don't see him doing spectacular things. And yet when I look back on my life, I just have to go, I can't believe everything that he's done for me. I can't believe all the times that I didn't even know he was there until later, as I thought back on it and go, wow, he was there. That's amazing. One of the guys in first service told me about, he was on a motorcycle ride yesterday and with a bunch of guys, and a big tire came off of a truck and it was bouncing and it bumped a couple guys on the ride, and then it fell right in front of him and he couldn't escape, and he hit it and he went airborne and he landed his motorcycle and he was fine. And he goes, I know God was there. He didn't do it in a way that I could see, but I know he was with me. And that's what I see about God in this story. What do I see about people? Well, the people who God uses, first of all, the way you live, the kind of character that you have, influences what happens to you. Haman was a complete selfish, bitter, angry jerk. And he got hung on his own gallows. His own plan totally backfired on him. And that happens all the time. In Proverbs, it talks about if you dig a ditch to trap someone, you're going to fall in that ditch. Solomon also says, if you push a rock to try to push it on someone, it's going to roll back on you. There, Shakespeare in Hamlet used an expression that you still hear sometimes. It's, he was hoist with his own petard. You probably don't know what hoisting or a petard was, but what a petard was is an explosive device that would blow up a door so that you could gain entrance. And being hoisted meant you're being blown up by your own bomb. And we see that here with Haman, and we need to be aware of that, because if we decide to live our lives trying to hurt other people and take them down, more often than not, it's going to affect us. But look at Esther and look at Mordecai. They made critical decisions at critical times. They were in the right place at the right time. And look how God honored it. Think about Mordecai. He allowed his daughter to be taken. Now, he could have put up resistance. They both would have been killed. End of story. But somehow, he knew this is the best thing to do at this time. But he's loyal enough to the king that he exposes the plot that's designed to kill him. That's pretty impressive. And all along the way, he gets the message to Esther and communicates it in a way that it helps. And, you know, all along the way, you see the consequences of his choices. Esther as well. As soon as she got in the contest, she's not rebelling, like, nope, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to look like such a hag that there's no way he's going to pick me. But no, she's submitting herself to the process, submitting herself to the guy who's in charge, the eunuch who's in charge. And he really liked her because she was really a sweet girl, unlike most of the other girls in the contest. And then for her to decide finally, maybe this is my day. If I perish, I perish. What a courageous thing. And then to go before the king and then to bring up this whole thing with Haman and, you know, start to finish, it was an impressive set of choices that were made that brought about really successful consequences. And our lives are determined by choices that we make. But it isn't. See, it's always working within the system. It's not just being a rebel. There are a lot of people who would say, if they come to my house and they say, your virgin daughter is going to go sleep with the king, I would go, no, that ain't happening. It's over. I'm going to take a stand. And people who believe in God and people who love Jesus are often thinking that we need to take a stand on everything. If you take a stand on everything, you'll just be a nut. That's what people will think. You will never get in a position to do anything significant if you're constantly arguing over things that don't matter. I mean, I know people years ago who the obsession of their life was to warn everyone about the dangers of Harry Potter. It's like, who cares about Harry Potter anymore? But it's like, no, that's my cause. I'm going to put my foot down. We're not going to have that in our school. All you do is lose influence when you decide that every hill is a hill you're willing to die on. We've got to pick our moments, discern, okay, is this my moment? It might be a good cause that I would agree with, but is this the one that I was put here to step out and take this role? Now, if you have a cause that is like that, then by all means, take a stand. If I perish, I perish. But I'll give you a hint. If everything is that cause for you and you're constantly taking stands and being willing to die on a hill, and you know, you're losing your effectiveness because people can't even hear your shrieks anymore because you're worked up about every issue. God's working. We need to not follow God as if he isn't. We need to not live our lives in such a way that everything is about desperation. It's going to come down to this election, or it's going to come down to this issue, or this will destroy life as we know it. No, it won't. There will be a time in your life when it's time for you to take a stand somewhere on something. Make sure that you wait and look for that opportunity, because the truth is, even though it looks like God's not doing anything and he needs you desperately, what we learn from this story is, now God's working all along. How did you get where you are? It's because God was doing it. More the question is this my time? Is this my opportunity uniquely? For Esther, she was the only one who could have done this at that point. And even then, Mordecai said, if you don't do it, it'll be done in another way, implication. God will work through somebody else if he doesn't work through you. But how do we make our decisions? How do we live our lives? How do we set our priorities? That's huge here. And we will always be most effective when we work behind the scenes the way God does, when we're just calmly and subtly doing what he calls us to do. We were talking this week about this with the pastors, and Pastor Ken was telling us about his daughter Chloe, who works in a hospital for children, and they have kids who are really going through tough, you know, cancer treatment and things like this, horrible diseases. And they get people calling a lot, offering to volunteer, and they make an extensive use of volunteers in this place. And inevitably, he said, so often churches say, okay, well, can we come in there and share the gospel and give them gospel tracts and give them Bibles? And she goes, no, we're not allowed to do that. And they go, okay, then, yeah, we're not interested. So often, as Christians, we're only looking for an opportunity to preach at somebody. Like, at what point does showing love to a little kid who's dying become less important than passing out gospel tracts that nobody's going to read? But the amazing thing is, Chloe has an incredible ministry among those people. God opens doors, but it's only because she's willing to go, no, this is really about loving kids. There's so many things that Jesus did where he didn't even give a message. He just loved people. He just touched them. He healed them. If we don't learn to do that, then we're like a bull in a china shop trying to force our way into everything, and we're striving. And there's something about people who have to preach to everyone all the time. Those people are actually very insecure about God's ability to do what he wants to do. Sometimes thou protesteth too much. That is like, oh, we've got our time, and I have to tell everyone. That's not how most people get saved. Most people get saved when somebody loves them and is with them and is patient and caring and reaching out to them. And that's very powerful. Now, yeah, there's an opportunity. There's a time when you go, this is why you are friends with these people, or this is why you're connected with them. Here's your moment. Listen for that moment. Don't just feel like our job is to propagandize the world and force people to believe what we believe. They'll start believing what we believe when we make it credible, when we make it look like it works. And that's something for me it's way easier to just be mad about everything. But if we're just always mad about everything, we're sounding more like Haman than we are Esther. And so it's important for us to find that connection. You know, I think sometimes we feel like if you're a Christian and you're in business, oh, you just need to broadcast. And please don't be offended if this is what you do. But it's like, oh, we want everybody to know it's a Christian business. How about just doing business like a Christian does and having people go, wow, this is awesome. And at some point they find out you're a Christian and they go, I should have known, because you're one of the most honest people that I've ever met and you work really hard. I've been ripped off so many times by Christian business people. And it's disgusting that people feel like they have to do it. If what you are offering the world isn't valuable enough that they would want it apart from God, why do you want God to be your ad man? Why do you want him to be like, put God's face on your product? He doesn't do it that way. He works undercover. He works beneath the scenes. And sometimes that's what I think we need to learn to do. To be like Esther and Mordecai, to realize, and I know the word compromise is just, it will inflame people, but how do we adjust to the culture that we are in order to become the people that he wants us to be and to work alongside God who works in a subtle way? It isn't by just always taking a stand. You know, sometimes people hear the story of Esther and they get latched on, if I perish, I perish. And so then they're like, I'm going to do that in everything. This cop pulled me over, and I'm going to let him know that this is ungodly what he's doing. And if I perish, I perish. And tomorrow at the grocery store, if the line's too long and the person's messing up, I'm just going to make a scene, because if I perish, I perish. Now, if you do that, you'll perish. Somebody will put you out of your misery. But in this story, we just see what happens, what God can do when you will calm down, when I will calm down, and just be people with character, and just be people with integrity, who are just working within the culture and within a system in order to make a difference and make the world a better place. And don't worry, the opportunity will come up when this is your day, this is your chance. But don't blow it before it gets to that point. You'll know when that point comes. Prepare yourself by establishing yourself as somebody who is admired and respected, and then see what God does. And let's not be insecure about God's abilities. God's got this. It's okay. If you're freaking out about anything that you hear about, I guarantee you, God's not freaking out about it. It all fits in with his plan. He's fine. Is it bad? Yeah, sometimes it is bad. But God's got it. It's going to be okay because he's God. Let's pray. Lord, we're sorry when we embarrass you by taking upon ourselves this panicked attempt at trying to make you famous when all you call us to do is what you're doing already and to work with you. Lord, let us know when it's our moment. Let us know when it's this is why we're here. And when it calls for boldness, if I perish, I perish. Help us to be ready to make that choice, but you show us where it is. At the same time, please give us, by your Spirit, the capacity to notice that you are really busy doing exciting things in our community, in our families, in our culture, in our world. And help us not to act like you're not, that you're losing this battle somehow. God, we want to believe in you and worship you as you are. And sometimes we do get nervous and we don't think you're going to come through. But help us to act with integrity even when that happens and say, if I perish, I perish. Thank you for all that you're doing that we don't know about. Thank you for all of your plans that go way beyond what we know. Help us to walk around in our daily lives like people who have a great confidence in the God who, when his name is never mentioned, he's still going to save his people. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to The Balanced Word. In addition to being our teacher on the program, Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. We're going through the Bible right now in a series called Bible Stories. We have these messages archived for you at thebalancedword.com or call and request today's message on CD at 949-362-7475. And as a special appreciation gift for your donation of $10 or more, The Balanced Word is pleased to send you all of these messages in this Bible Story series on a USB thumb drive. You'll hear some of the Bible's greatest stories from Genesis through Revelation. To make a secure donation, go to thebalancedword.com or call 949-362-7475. And don't forget to ask for the Bible Story series as you give. Again, we're at thebalancedword.com. And we'd like to take this time to invite you to Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our Sunday morning service times are at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Again, we're at ccpacifichills.org if you'd like more information. Or if you're outside of the area, you can watch our live stream right there at ccpacifichills.org. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Next time on The Balanced Word, we take a look at the story of Job, and here's a preview.
I heard a guy speaking recently. My wife and I went to a thing, and this guy had lost his family in a car accident. He was in a car accident. His mother was killed. His wife was killed. Two of his three kids were killed, and he survived with one of the children. And people would ask him, he was a college seminary professor, and people would just go, how do you deal with this? I mean, don't you ever say, why me? And he said, of course I did at first, but I got to thinking about it, and I thought, I never said, why me, when God did good things. Like, I did not deserve to have a wife like that for the years that I had her, to have those children or to have a mother like that. And so if God gives me good things that I don't deserve, then I'm not going to gripe about the times when something happens to me that isn't good. I'm already way ahead of the game. And that's Job's attitude here.
We're going through the Bible in Stories with Pastor Dave Rolfe on The Balanced Word. We'll catch you back here next time when we'll learn how to deal with loss. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play with.